Kevin, especially early, just, you're right, he just worked hard. They both won a lot of battles. You know, did a lot of right things. We all did. We played against a real good hockey club. Ottawa's a real good team. Hard to play against, got a lot of elements, and, you know, we hung in there, obviously. We had the penalty and, you know, the challenge and whatever. And once again, credit to our group for not panicking.
And welcome into Judd's Hockey Show, a late night edition, because as the head coach of the Wild, Dean Evason, was just referring to there, the Wild wins 5-4 in overtime against the Ottawa Senators to end a two-game losing streak that they had on the road. It's Zolgad, it's Declan Goff, it's the two folks that you are always used to seeing on this show. And by the way, shout out to the couple in the parking garage across the street from the X who said that they love the show and that would be tuned in. A guy like looked back and he looked back and I was like, is he looking at me or is he looking beyond me or what? And he looked back like three times, and the third time he stopped and he goes, are you Judd from Judd's Hockey Show? I love your show. So shout out to him. Much appreciated.
Yeah.
But yes, let's start with the best news from this game.
Yeah.
The Wild takes control early. They blow a most dangerous lead in hockey, 2-goal lead. Game is tied into OT at 4-4. And in overtime, Declan Goff, it ends Kirill Kaprizov scoring on a beautiful pass from Kevin Fiala. Eureka, they're not terrible when they're playing together all the time, as Dean said last week. But if you are a Wild fan, this game is great news in this sense. Kevin Fiala had easily, I think, his best game of the season as far as an entire game. He was engaged, to use the hockey cliche. He moved his feet. He was just outstanding. Kaprizov, third period, I thought was really good. The goal that he scored in overtime, his first of the season, was vintage Kirill. Long story short, you have to hope that coming off this win, that your two star players now are on track. But let's start with your guy, because Fiala's game, and he had about three scoring chances that were just phenomenal. And he basically screwed all three up. But to get there, nice plays. But this was the type of game that you talk about a lot, where he finally gets so pissed off that he takes control. And my God, when he does, that skill is elite.
He was a beast tonight. You can make a case Marcus Foligno, box score-wise, was the team's best player. And Marcus did have a phenomenal game, so I'm not discrediting him for what he was able to do tonight, too, with a couple goals and having a noticeably good game. But Kevin Fiala controlled the entire pace tonight. Him and Kaprizov were phenomenal. And if I can take away anything from this game, this is exactly why these two need to be paired together. It's so adamant that these are your best two players, and I know you want to spread out that wealth, and I know there's going to be games, i.e. what happened, what was it? Was it the Ducks? What was the game they were paired together? It wasn't the Ducks game from over the weekend.
Seattle?
This last week. Seattle. Yes, thank you. The Kraken, where they were a mess. There was pucks being turned over. There weren't pucks getting deep. But that's the volatility you have to deal with when you have two elite playmakers like that. Tonight, Kevin Fiala was insanely good, dominant in every aspect, from an analytics side, from a traditional hockey statistics side. He had a breakaway that he got stoned on. He had other shots on goal that were gobbled up. Corsi 4-wise, he was controlling shots attempted instead of shots allowed. Same with Kirill Kaprizov. This is exactly why you need to have these two dudes on the ice together. And I get it. Maybe there's going to be times where they can't always be on the ice because they play the power play together. And there will be chances maybe in you know, the overtime, i.e. Fiala setting up Caprice. I mean, that plays in a 3-on-3. There's open ice. It's indicative on changes. We'll get into that in a little bit too. But that's what happens. Kevin Fiala sets up Kirill Kaprizov for the game-winning goal. I mean, that's a fairy tale ending. That's the Judd's Hockey Show ending that we've been wanting to see for basically Judd the last year now. So yep. I thought my biggest takeaway was, yes, Kevin Fiala, I think, was noticeably the best player on the ice, but him being with Kirill Kaprizov, this is why you have to have these two together.
And Kirill was on the ice to open OT. He came off, Goudreau came on, and then Kirill snuck back on. Is that the story? Because that's
well,
it's a great move, but it's like, because I saw him back on and I'm like, he's back out there. And sure enough, it turned out to be genius.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Sturm that may have said you should go. I think even Nico Sturm said you should probably go.
Good job, Coach Nico Sturm.
And good for him being unselfish for that to happen. And I think only just like a 40-second Gorillas went off the ice for a little bit for that OT.
Goudreau
came right back on.
Goudreau came on, and then he came off,
mm-hmm.
and Kirill went back on.
Yeah. So that's in 3-on-3. No one wants to go to a shootout. Nobody wants to go to a shootout. You and I even independently said, if this is going to the shootout, we're out of here. I'm not watching this.
I'm
going to
leave.
I'm not watching this.
It's crap.
So Fiala, Kaprizov, Ek, Dumba, who we also want to get into. You want your best players in the ice in overtime.
Yes.
And so I'm glad that Kirill Kaprizov had the selfish or unselfish move to do so.
So one thing I will say is, while I agree with you, and by the way, I don't think Kaprizov and Fiala need to be paired together constantly, but I like the element of doing it at times, and like tonight, that makes perfect sense. I think they hit on a line, though. Tonight, I really liked how Ek, Foligno, and Fiala looked. It was almost as if, because Foligno, Declan works so hard. Like, that guy works his ass off. And he's become a really good player. Scored two goals. Darnier scored a third that would have won the game in the third period. I think he broke his stick. He was so upset that he didn't score it. But beyond the talent, there is the ability to score greasy goals because he works so hard. And it seemed to me tonight, Declan, like Fiala took a page from Foligno, because Fiala worked too. Like, he played well and he is a talent, but he moved tonight and he was hitting people tonight and he was doing all of the things that eventually pay off. So I liked that line, and I think I would give that line a shot. Now, eventually Mats is going to come back, and then I imagine that they'll put Kaprizov back with those guys. But I think that they hit on something potentially. And when it comes to Kaprizov and Fiala, what I want there is I just want the ability to be open-minded to pairing them. Like, I didn't like how Dean broke them up and then said, we just didn't like it, didn't work. And that's not necessarily true. Both were scuffling, both were struggling. But that being said, you're right. They're two elite talents. And if they play off each other, they can be extremely good together. So, but I did like that line, and I thought that Ek, Foligno, Fiala had potential, and I'd like to see more, because if that's going to drive Kevin to work, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, you could just tell that Fiala came in with his head on fire. And head on, I don't know, head on fire, because that's normal. There was something even more, a little bit more extra motivational with him tonight. And
I think you're right. I think that he is finally, he's weird, man. And you know what? It's the same story at different points a lot. He is super talented, but he sort of falls asleep at times. And when he plays a hard game combined with his skill, he's a star.
Yep.
Unfortunately, doesn't play a hard game consistently. So, but yeah, no, I think tonight he played pissed off. And the best part was it wasn't for like three shifts. It was mostly for the entire game.
And it could have been very classic of because he took a penalty late in the third. And I was like, oh, here we go. You know,
it was a bad penalty too.
And yeah. And but that's him, right? Like that's Kevin Fiala. He's also going to have those moments where you want to pull your hair out from a traditional hockey side, but I think everything is worth it. It might be a good transition here. It reminds me of like when Matt Dumba was going through his growing pains, right? Like his defensive warts, the early part of his career. Yeah. They were eye-opening and noticeable, but you kind of thought, well, but he brings this new skill set that other players at his position don't bring. Yep. And it kind of seems like Kevin Fiala, although different, is on a similar trajectory where he's going to do things that make you go nuts. And especially, I think, more of a traditional hockey purist through and through who knows the game and knows, you know, ill-timed penalties and ill-timed situations. And Fiala's going to put himself in those situations sometimes that hurt the team. But what he's able to bring from a dynamic standpoint is so tonight is the exact reason. Like, he took a bad penalty. There's no getting around that. But it does not even remotely, in my opinion, factor in to his performance tonight. When I think of the grand scheme, and I know they get the win, so that obviously helps. But when I look at what happened tonight and what he was able to bring, you saw Kevin Fiala was really hungry. I mean, out the jump, he was unbelievable. In the first period, and Dean alluded that too in the clip off the top, right away you noticed that Fiala was going to have a strong game tonight. And good for Kirill Kaprizov to finally get rewarded. I mean, he had the whole barn door. You knew he was going to score that one. And he was going to the net tonight. He was itching to score a first goal. Everson said after the game, he told assistant that Kirill said that literally felt like the first professional goal he's ever scored.
Yep.
You know, like because it was that special of a feeling after being goalless for the first 8 games of the year. So great that Kirill gets going. Great that Kevin Fiala also has a very strong game. Your guy, Marcus Foligno, and me eating crow. He's up to, what, now 4 goals on the season,
he's,
I said.
Statistically, he's been awesome.
He has. He really has. Yep. So a lot of positives in this game against the Sens.
Absolutely. On Kirill. So in my opinion, Fiala put together a really solid game. Now, I will say this, where I'll pull back a little bit, not on Kevin's game, but the entire team was. That second period was awful. Like, the Wild gets up 2 rip. The Sens start to come back. And by the way, the Sens are a good team. They're young. They're far from complete, but they're plucky. And they've got some nice players. And I think that they're going to become a contender within the next few years. But that being said, the Wild played a terrible second period. It was disappointing. Came back in the third, engaged, and looked good. But I thought Fiala had a really, really strong game. Kaprizov, I don't know, Dex. The goal was nice. I don't think I saw as complete of game from him, though. And it felt like in the third period, his play did jump. But I just have this feeling that something remains not entirely right there. And I don't know if scoring this goal now will take the monkey off his back because he's got the contract and was probably putting pressure on himself. If there's something else that's slightly wrong or off here, but because with Kevin, you know what you're going to get, right? Like Kevin yes. goes through these spurts. Like I don't say, oh my God, he's going to have a bad year. I'm really concerned. I say he's going to get pissed off. He's going to, at some point in time, score goals and it's going to change. And then it's going to go, you know, back to, you know, he'll play 15 great games and then 5 not great games. So, but with Kirill, I'm really curious now. I think the Wild's back in action on Saturday at Pittsburgh and then home against Parisi and the Islanders on Sunday. Yeah. I'm really curious now to see, though, if the goal sparks Kirill because, and I got a tweet about this, and I have thought this for a few weeks now, and it remains true. The one thing that I don't see him doing consistently that I know he can do, he's not moving like he did last year. He seems like he is, for
like how?
Lack of a better term, it seems like for him, he's heavy on his skates. And now he works out like a maven, so I don't think he's fat. But it just seems like he's not moving and edging with the ordinary ease that he did last year. And that could be pressure too, but that's the one thing. I'm curious if this changes that completely. He had in the third period, the one thing I liked was, and the Sens goalie made a great save. That move that Kaprizov made, and I think it's the first time that we've seen it this season so far, the between the legs play in front of the Ottawa goal where he got a shot and the Senators goalie made a really nice save was phenomenal. So I'm curious if there's something physically off here or if this was just, oh my God, I've got a new contract, that the contract preoccupied my mind throughout the summer. I'm not scoring right now. So I think Saturday will at least be a telltale to, is this all mental and now past him with him scoring the first goal, or is this something else? Because again, Fiala, I know him. Kaprizov, I thought I knew, and I'm interested now to see if that's the case.
2 things quickly off your point. Is it on your Kaprizov not looking like himself point? Is it, do you think he's just not in hockey shape?
I don't know.
He has like a legitimate injury that's something that's nagging him or preventing him from going into places and areas that he did last season?
I felt like tonight, at least in the first two periods, that he continued to not move like he can. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know if he is not in hockey shape. I guess there's a Russian report reckless speculation from Russia.
Always credible.
Circulating. Yeah, exactly right. That he actually might be too muscle bound, because it does look like he's not moving like he can move. Last year he moved. When he's at his best, he does not look to me like a hockey player. He looks like a figure skater playing hockey.
Yeah, he glides.
He glides, and he, yeah. I mean, the things that he does on his skates, most people can't do. I have not seen that consistently yet. And so I don't know. I don't know. I am recklessly speculating what my eyes see,
yeah.
But I don't know. It could be he's hurting. It could be something else. And you know what? It could be the contract, and now he's scored, and this whole thing's done. But I'm curious.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he took that nasty spill against the Jets in the home opener, went to the boards awkwardly, went down for a little bit. But, you know, number one, if he was significantly hurt, I think he would have taken himself out. And also,
it's not significantly hurt.
It wouldn't have been.
I agree with you on that. Yeah.
If it was significant, he would have been like, hey, I'm going to miss this game. Or, yeah. Hey, I'm going to take myself out. There's no point. It's not the playoffs, right? It's not like a push or even like I could see him playing through something like that. But it's November 3rd. Like, if anything, Kirill, if you were significantly hurt on that, we'll take the time off now. This makes perfect sense to do so.
Correct.
I think maybe the bigger thing is, and this is more external, I don't think it's Kirill's fault. This is what happens. And this happens in sports all the time. This isn't just a hockey thing. It does happen a lot in hockey. You get figured out a little bit. I mean, if you're an opposing team and you have been game planning for the Minnesota Wild for the last 5-6 years, you kind of know what to expect, right? Like, you kind of knew what to expect.
Your chalkboard says, don't worry, they're slow.
Yeah, like just right. Avoid high danger areas. If they want to shoot on us from the point and they want to fire at us, great. But also, like, if they're not gonna outtalent us. They're not gonna have anyone that's gonna be able to do so.
Right.
Well, now, like, and we saw this in the Vancouver Canucks series in the bubble, that take away Fiala and we'll win this game. That's what the Canucks did, and it worked brilliantly. Well, now Fiala's a good player, but also they saw Kirill Kaprizov and wins the Calder by far and is clearly the best player on this team. So naturally, I think it was obvious that other teams are focusing in on, what if we shut down Kirill? If we shut down Kirill, are we in a better position to still win this game? Because, by the way, even if you shut down Kirill, I do like this team's depth, and I still think you can win games. You can win games when Kirill has an off night. They're off to a decent start. Kirill's been slowish in terms of scoring goals. They've still won games. So that part hasn't changed. But that is what happens in this league. You want to shut down one of your star players, and that's Kirill Kaprizov. You know, Kevin Fiala is a good player, and even with me being, you know, maybe one of his bigger fans in this state and whatnot, I know that he's not a star. I know he's not he's not the figurehead of a team. So if I think it's other teams too, just figure out ways to shut down Kirill.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know, and I mean, hopefully he scores tonight, and Dex, that ends it. He's fine. To the blue line. And you brought up this guy's name, but damn it, he deserves praise. Yes, he still screws up defensively, but as Kyle just said, and Declan put up on our screen, we have to acknowledge Matthew Dumba's play.
Dude.
This is why, and again, full disclosure, I think I got frustrated last year during the playoffs and said, I'm out. But before that, I'd been very sane about him. And said that they shouldn't trade him. This is what we've been talking about. What Matthew, in fact, tonight, okay? An assist, 4 shots on goal, a -1. So, like, statistically, okay. But the eye test tonight, Declan Goff. Again, too, the eye test. And there are screw-ups. What this guy brings from an ability to shoot standpoint, an ability to do things on the blue line that the vast majority of his teammates who play defense can't do. And it finally seems like between confidence and being emboldened, it finally seems like it's all coming together. For all of those years that we said, how could the Wild trade Brent Burns, right?
Right.
And the reality was, if you watched Sharks games, Brent Burns screwed up. Like, Brent Burns would make bad defensive plays and do dumb things. But, my God, he also could do things that the majority of guys on the blue line can't do. Matt Dumba is starting to, I think, turn that same corner. And between his willingness to shoot and what he brings, Kyle's exactly right. We have to acknowledge this guy's play.
I think it's been by far the best start of his career. And that isn't, that's not to say like he's gotten off to slow starts. Cause I'm trying to remember his rookie year, you know, and he debuted for those 8 games where he got sent back to the WHL, you know, like it was noticeable. He just wasn't ready. Sure. But I can't remember him coming out with such a bang. And, you know, when he had the pec injury against the Chuck, one of the Chucks, not the one that was present tonight. He had a good start that year, obviously, because he had, 14 goals, and it was mid-December when he got hurt. So he was on pace to maybe even be a 30-goal scorer, and that's just a rarity in today's age for defensemen. Mm-hmm. That it seemed like that still slowed him down a little bit. You know, before the bubble season, as it was winding down, you could tell, and we had him on the show, that it was affecting him. It was snake-bitten. The guy was shooting, and like, man, like, what has he got to do just to find some damn goals here, right? Well, the first 8-9 games here this season, he is noticeable every night. I've only gone to 2 games at the XL Energy Center, but even when watching on TV, you have noticed him. He's taking every chance he gets. And there's a difference, too, by the way. I think I brought this up on the last show. There's a difference between just firing pucks with no animosity, with no regard of where it's going. Ryan Suter on the power play. Go watch Ryan Suter on the power play from the point.
He flings it.
There's no point for him to do it. I'd rather you wait and do the pass, and have the entire team of 18,000 yelling shoot, instead of Ryan Suter just flinging up a little flutter wiffle ball looking for something to happen. Right. Every time he shoots, it's with pizzazz. It's with fire.
Well, he's got a huge shot,
and he has a heavy ass shot.
Oh yeah, that's a great slap shot.
So and. I think the other part of this, and I thought this was a big reason why he was named an alternate captain in the summer, because you and I kind of thought, oh, Dumba. You know, not a surprise he got named an alternate captain, but interesting, Matt Dumba, all right, I wonder why. And I think my biggest thing of the reason that Bill Guerin, and also the teammates, because I know it's the teammates that name those alternate captains. Bill Guerin might have an influence behind the scenes, but in general, it's the team that's going to name those captaincies and those alternate captains. He is such a fiery personality and kind of the heartbeat of that team in the room and everything off the ice, and also what he stands for off the ice, that it made sense for him to be rewarded with that. And I now wonder, too, if that's kind of a guy, and this is a kid who I think has matured a lot, and I call him a kid as if he's the same age as me, but someone who it was very clear, and it just going into the locker room over the last few years, sometimes they didn't take the game very seriously. Bruce Boudreau called him out point blank. I remember one time in a post game, he didn't name him by name, but you and I both looked at each other like, we know who he's talking about, right?
Yep.
So when he gets named an alternate captain this year, and if that gives him even more fire, even more of an edge to his game.
Responsibility.
Yeah, that's great. And then you mentioned to me tonight when we were sitting watching the game that I wonder if that has helped take his game. And it's hockey is so weird because it's the one sport where these unquantifiable box score things do end up paying dividends in the box score, right? In the noticeable factors. And, you know, our hockey whisperer might say that sometimes, you know, you guys are over evaluating, you know, some minor little detail. But I think in hockey, Judd, that kind of stuff does matter. It's hard to quantify it, but it matters compared to other sports like basketball, baseball, football. That kind of decision to make him an alternate captain does matter.
Absolutely. Empowerment's huge here, too. In fact, I think the reason why they gave Dumba the A and not Ek was because Ek is going to do what Ek does. Like, he's not going to pout, and he's not going to be – and Ek would have been a fine choice, but it empowers a guy – like Dumba, who, if you think about his time here, rarely has been empowered. Like, it used to be, and, you know, rightfully so, Oh, he's out at the club again. Oh, he's not doing this. Oh, he's not doing. Oh, he made a bad defensive play. And I mean, the important thing too is in that loss to the Kraken on one of those goals, Dumba made a terrible play. He made an absolutely terrible play, but he's going to. But if he can reward you with as much transition game and as much offense as he brings, those guys are hard to find. Yep. Like, I can find you the Merrills and the Bens, right? Like, I can find them. What I struggle to find is a guy with a howitzer slap shot like this guy has. And I think with him feeling more confident and empowered and his total game. And plus, the thing too that I like is they basically leave him with Brodin, and he and Brodin are really good friends off the ice, and they work together fantastic. And Brodin is more than happy to, and that guy is so solid. You know, he takes his place. He does not play a sexy game, but he's incredibly effective. Mm-hmm. The only thing, and I told you this during, I think it was the first period tonight, as the Wild's first power play floundered again. The only thing is, especially with Matt's out, I would take Dumba off the second power play and put him Spurgeon on the point on the first one. Right now, Goudreau's playing in place of Matt's. I would take Goudreau off that thing. And I think Kaprizov was at the point tonight. I would play Ek, Kaprizov, and Fiala up front. But Dumba is, because Dumba's a guy who, if he gets the puck at the point, is going to shoot. And he likes to shoot, and he's good at it. Mm-hmm. So, like right now, one of my biggest complaints with that first power play is, yes, you've got guys who can shoot, but it always turns into this, I got to make a play. No, you make a play. No, I'll pass it to you. Right. If that puck goes to Dumba, one, he's going to shoot. And two, and this is a big thing, teams are so effective at taking lanes now. So I think part of why we get so many passes back and forth is they're always trying to find the open lane and the perfect lane. If I'm going to block a Jared Spurgeon shot, it might hurt a little bit, but I'm going to block it. I got to make a career choice on Dumba. If I'm going to block his shot, I got to make a career choice.
Career, a life choice.
Well, right. But my point is if Fiala shoots, it might hurt, but I can block it. I'll do it.
Right.
But if I'm going to lay out in front of a Matthew Dumba howitzer, I got to give that some thought, real career thought. Do I want kids? Do I want to play for a long time? That's a life choice. So that is the one move that I would like to see them make and to actually take Dumba away from Brodin in that one situation and promote him to that first power play.
Yeah, I completely understand that. He's got a howitzer of a shot. It's heavy. It's noticeable. He's definitely someone that probably should be on the top power play. You know, I think you and I have said before, or at least maybe even disagreed, it's probably the better word, that like, I just think there's too much firepower on the top unit. Now, at the same time, I can have that thought, but it also means like, well, then you guys got to cash in, right? Like it still seems like we're half empty with this power play, mm-hmm. which is a discussion in its own right. But, at that point, yeah, you may as well put Dumba on there. With just the year he's having, I think what is so what's so intriguing too about Matt Dumba is that next year is the last year of his contract. So there's as of right now 2 years left, including this season. So 1 year after this, and then he's going to be a UFA entering. And by the way, 29-year-old defenseman, UFA, who could get a humongous payday. I mean, Adam Fox, you could make a case. Adam Fox settled with New York Rangers. I mean, he got a nice deal. I'm not saying he's not getting rich, but that's a
for the team, Rangers.
You could say make a serious case. That's a team friendly deal because Adam Fox has been one of the best, if not the best, defenseman in the NHL the last two seasons. Dumba's going to get paid, so if he has the year that we're saying he's basically on track to have, and with the Wild being so cap stricken, he might be the one guy that you have to figure out if we're not going to extend Fiala, which I just think is going to be next to impossible. that might be the only piece that you can look at and say internally, like, all right, well, let's start this. Because hockey's weird where they don't even like to get to UFA status. They like to have these conversations the year going into the last contract, so we don't have to even deal with the tampering, deal with an RFA, deal
tie
with
up,
you.
Right? 7 years. Right.
So if he has the year he has, Bill Guerin's going to, like, that might be legitimately, it's November 3rd and we're obviously manifesting a little bit. That might be his top priority this summer, is re-signing Matt Dumba to a new deal.
I got bad news for you. I think you're right, but the bad news is this. Fiala's an RFA in July, and then potentially if he gets another one-year contract, I think he's unrestricted the next July.
Correct.
I think your guy might be gone.
I think he is,
too. I think Dumba, I think Greenway and Fiala might be gone, and I think they're going to probably work hard to keep Dumba.
Here's my just initial thought on that, and this could change over the course of the season.
Once you say it, you can't change it.
But yeah, you can't admit you're wrong. You know,
no, you're
you
locked in.
Never do that. No,
you're locked in.
Marcus Foligno's not going to have the offensive year he has. Oh, F, he already has 5 goals in 7 games.
No,
he's going to score 30.
You're just wrong.
If you had to ask me, who do I want more longer term? Do I want Kevin Fiala for 6 to 7 per, or do I want Matt Dumba for 6 to 7 per? Because you're not going to get, you're just not going to get both.
Right.
You're not going to get both beyond 2023.
No, you're right.
And even though there's a new TV contract, I think the figures are locked in. I mean, it's going to take a long time, i.e., like 5-6 years for the NHL to get back to what it happened with their salary cap because of COVID.
Hopefully, yeah, we'll see.
So, I think right now, I mean, biasly, I would like to see them keep Kevin Fiala because even as Jared and other people, and by the way, our YouTube comment section, hit the subscribe button if you want daily Minnesota Wild, a Minnesota sports conversation right here on Score North. Kalen Addison, you know, is supposed to be, should be Matt Dumba 2.0. Well, then I can also make the case, though, well, Adam Beckman could be Kevin Fiala 2.0. Matthew Boldy could be Kevin Fiala 2.0. These are, and to sum up everything I'm saying, good problems to have. This is first time. I know we always talk about prospect hoarding in all of sports, not just the Wild, but this is legitimately the first time that I can remember, Judd, that the Wild have people in the wings from the offense and defensive side that actually excite you, where if you did lose or if you had to trade even Kevin Fiala, it isn't the end of the world. It won't be the end of the world.
Right, and I think with the way that Dumba has matured and become important to this franchise, I think I would rather tie him up and trust that it's going to work. If I sign Fiala to a 7-year contract, that's a lot of comfort for him.
Right.
That's a lot of comfort for him. And to be clear, Greenway, I'm not doing that.
Yep.
So, and he wouldn't break the bank. Fiala might. Dumba might for sure. So, yeah, I think I would go Dumba, Fiala after that, Greenway third. And I think that you're right. I think two of those three are probably gone. On Kalen, all right? Kalen Addison, from what I've seen, and you know, to be clear, the sample size is growing. Kalen Addison should stay, and I think he should play here. John Merrill, plug-in guy, right?
Right.
Ben, plug-in guy when he plays. Kulikov I like, and he's done a nice job. And he made a play tonight on, I think it was a Tim Stutzel.
Really solid.
I didn't know his game that well. He's been solid, and I think he brings a lot from just a defensive standpoint. But I think that when guys start to come back, Kalen stays. Now, the only thing there is, Merrill is a left-hand shot. Kulikov, I think, is as well. Addison's a right-hand shot. I think you would basically have to mix and match things.
Mm-hmm.
But Kalen Addison brings an offensive game now that intrigues me. And I think if he had the confidence and he knew that he was going to stay, he's not Dumba. But I do think that he has ability offensively where if he doesn't fall apart completely on the back end, that he gives you a spark that you probably don't have from the current crop of defensemen behind defensemen 3 and 4 right now.
This could be completely wrong, but how I view it, what's more likely that's, or not likely, what's easier to replace? So let's say if you had to lose Kevin Fiala and replace his minutes with Matthew Boldy next season.
Yep.
Or if you lost Matt Dumba, let's say like you traded him because you could get a haul or something, and you had to replace Matt Dumba with Kalen Addison. I feel more comfortable as of this moment that Kalen Addison can step in, even though with how great Dumba has been playing, and I know what I'm going to get in Addison. Now, Matthew Boldy could be a wild card, right? Like, Matthew Boldy could be as good, if not better, than Kevin Fiala, but I think it's going to take Matthew Boldy time to be Kevin Fiala, right? I think what Kalen Addison can do already is he's an NHL-ready player. I don't know right now that Matthew Boldy's an NHL-ready player. I just don't. I think his time is about to be here, and he's tearing it up in Iowa, and that's good for him.
Sure.
But it just seems like what Kalen Addison brings in, and maybe this is just it's easier to project and have safer defensive longevity. That's why I think that Kalen Addison can step in and fill those shoes easier than Matthew Boldy could fill the shoes of Kevin Fiala, because I think Kevin Fiala is dynamic, and it's just goal scorers and natural players like that are harder to find.
Mm-hmm.
That I would feel more comfortable that Addison can step in immediately and replace those shoes. Even with Dumba having the strong year that you and I are, and that's, again, it's not a rip on Dumba by any means. I just think that Kalen Addison could step in here and play 17, 16 minutes tonight. He played 14 minutes tonight, and he looked great.
He's prepared.
Yeah, he's ready to go. And when I think even when you and I were doing the preseason wrap-up show right before opening day, it was like, well, do we want Kalen Addison to play top-line minutes in Iowa? But, like, is that really going to matter? Would if he's even playing third-pairing minutes with the Wild,
that's a lot.
That's fine. That's fine.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Last thing, mm-hmm. before we go, it's time for Declan Goff expresses his concern about the Wild goaltending situation, because Cam Talbot continues to start. I believe our guy Capo started one game, and that's it. So what's your concern about the fact that it's very clear because of how the schedule is staggered and stacks up so far that Cam Talbot's not just your top goaltender, but he is being used like Ken Dryden circa 1976.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. It just, their regression was obvious with Talbot. We talked about that in the preseason. I warned you that was just going to happen.
Yeah.
It wasn't regression like Devin Dubnyk falls off a cliff in 2018-19 regression, but the regression was going to happen. He popped back up after a nice year with Calgary, and then he was the same goaltender he was in Calgary. But in Edmonton, and this is exactly what happened in Edmonton, he started like 70 games 4 or 5 years ago,
yep.
and then hit a wall by the playoffs, basically got ran out of town. Yes, saves his career in Calgary, but that's kind of goaltending. If you're not Vezilevsky, if you're not, you know, I think he was like Robin Lehner or Marc-Andre Fleury, but goaltending is such a volatile position. It's so hard to project. Of all the guys, right? Like if you wanted to rank goaltenders, the 8th best goaltender and the 22nd best goaltender is not that different. It's really not that different. I'm sorry, it's not. So when Cam Talbot is looking the way he's looked over the first 9 games of the year, and he's already played 8, all but one of them, it hasn't been encouraging to me. So tonight, and that sense team's good, I still would have started Capo. Even looking back on the Wild get a win, I would have started Kaapo Kakkonen.
Yeah.
There was no reason for Talbot to start all 3 games also on the road trip. He played his best game was the Seattle game, which I thought was the game that Kaapo should have drawn into, but you still lost that game. You know, it kind of reminds me of like you're just burning a starting pitching performance against a bad team and you still end up with the loss, right? Like, well, then what was the point of him going 7-8 innings if it's not going to do any damn thing? So,
right.
I think in general, Capo has to play more. And if we get to a game 82,
yep,
and Talbot has started 65 of those games,
yeah,
that to me is just too much. Unless he is just on a hot streak by the end of it, because I do think Cam possesses, and hockey's the one sport where if you get a goaltender hot in the right time, anything can happen.
Which is the playoffs, though.
Like that's the postseason.
That's where you want that.
And I do think
because then Vegas, you can ride it.
In Vegas, he was fine. I don't remember. Maybe I could go back and I could be exposed, but I don't remember that Vegas series looking back on being like, man, Cam Talbot really cost the team the game in game three or four. I don't remember that being the case.
Yeah.
But in general, it's a dangerous recipe to just keep going to your number one guy. And if you don't trust Capo, which by the way, I'm fine with, then address it now and find a backup that can start 30 games.
Yes. Yes. And great rant, but and post Olympic break, you have to play two. Like you have to. I feel like Cam Talbot right now has turned into the Wild's version of Dalvin Cook. It's like, let's ride him. And if you look at how this sport is going, it's going to two goalies, which the Wild had to and did a pretty good job of dispersing play out or parceling it out last year. So I think fans are probably saying, Declan, shut up. Who cares? Like, and first of all, and the schedule is staggered. And so Cam Talbot can play because he can. I mean, he's not going to right now with how, you know, the schedule shapes up, burn out. But where I'm with you is this because you don't trust Capo? Because you can't have that. Like you can't have a goaltender who you're like, hey, we don't think he's that great, but he doesn't have to play much. Because eventually he's going to have to play. There's going to be stretches where there are a ton of games and Cam Talbot might get hurt.
Right.
So like you bring up a really good point. If you flat out are saying, we just think that Cam's play is here and Capo's play is down here, then you probably have to look for a guy who, you know, might not be a great starting goaltender, but that you at least trust. So I think you bring up a very interesting and relevant early warning sign of you can't turn this into we've got Dalvin Cook and he's the only guy that can run the ball. That is a very antiquated way of examining running backs and goaltenders.
And honestly, like just looking, I was wondering who are the goaltenders in Iowa? And I knew the Hamburglar is one of them. Andrew Hammond's down there.
Yeah, you don't trust him at all.
But also, Derek Baraboo, who's a young kid who's playing well for three games there. But Judd, if you don't even trust Capo, then I would call up Hammond. Like I would call up Hammond because at least he's played some NHL games, right? And he can start in a pinch.
But they'll say that they do, and it's just time to play Cam. But we don't know the truth.
And I'd rather than like that's what I'd rather do. Like if Hammond in three games, small sample size, but has allowed 8 goals, a .268 GAA, a save percentage of .890, not great.
Right.
But if that's the case, well, then I'd rather have Capo go and play 90% of the starts in Iowa.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And how is Capo supposed to come in and occasionally play well when he doesn't play?
Yeah.
Like if he comes, like his next game, if he allows in 5 goals, we're all going to say, well, that's why you got to play Cam Talbot. We've seen Capo play really well. Yep. And it's not fair to him to say, you know what, once every, 10 games, 12 games? Once every 10 games, Capo is going to play, and he better play well. That's not fair.
No.
So, yeah, I'm not panicked, but I tend to be on your side of the fence in at least saying, if you just flat out are like, I don't know, because here's the last thing I want. Cam Talbot, I think, is an improvement on Dubnyk.
Easily.
But the Dubnyk thing got so frustrating because it's like, we don't trust anybody but Doobie. It's like, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it got to be a problem.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would really, I mean, there are games, the Kraken game, that's a correct call tonight, a correct call, back-to-back games, right? Saturday at Pittsburgh, Sunday here. You're not going to play Cam both games.
Yeah.
But if Capo starts and he struggles, the Wild is going to say, well, that's why we start Cam. So, yeah, either tell me that you trust Capo more by playing him more, or to what you're saying, address what you deem to be a problem and are just not publicly talking about right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
it's an interesting point.
You can't run out a goalie like that just because you don't – if you don't trust your backup, you don't trust Capo, then address it. And if that means switching it out and calling up Andrew Hammond, who, you know, has started multiple games. He used to be the guy in Ottawa 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Isn't a long-term solution. But like goaltending's like Alex Stalock stepping in the bubble pre the pause and in the situation where it's like, oh, Alex Stalock ended up playing pretty well and the team played better in front of him. Like it can be so random. The variance in with goaltending is so out of the ordinary weird that right. It can work out like that. So if you don't trust sure. Kaapo, that's fine, but make that decision sooner rather than later.
Yeah, don't. The most important thing is this one. Don't burn Talbot out.
No.
Like, don't get to May or don't get to, yeah, May, playoff time, and say, wow, he had a really bad game again. Guess he played, you know, because that's possible.
Right.
That's incredibly possible when, especially a guy like Cam, who is good but not great, and you pile on the games played, and you're just like, well, we got to play him, right? Well, actually, right. The answer is no. All right, we are done. Great stuff. Fun game. Second period shaky, but Kirill Kaprizov scores. Kevin Fiala plays great, and I'm sure we'll be back soon with another Judd's Hockey Show. If you watched us live, thank you. If you didn't but are still taking us in via podcast or on YouTube, we appreciate that as well. I'm Judd. He's Declan, and now he likes to say something.
Pass, shoot, score.